are Buddhist idol worshippers. A talk given by Venerable Dr. K. Sri Damananda Nayaka Thera of the University of Malaya.
There are certain objects or symbols for veneration. In Buddhism, there are three main religious objects for this purpose. Saririka, or the bodily relics of the Buddha, Uddeshika, or religious symbols such as the Buddha image, Chaitya or pagoda, Paribhogika, or the personal articles used by the Buddha. It is customary for Buddhists all over the world to pay homage to any one of these objects of veneration. It is also a Buddhist tradition of erecting Buddha images, Chaitya or pagodas, planting a Bodhi tree in every temple as religious objects for veneration. Many people are under the impression that Buddhists pray to idols. This is a misunderstanding that is due to lack of knowledge of the teachings of the Buddha and Buddhist customs and traditions. Idolatry generally means erecting images of unknown gods and goddesses in some theistic religions in various forms and names for prayers, asking him or them for blessings and protection and bestowing upon the supplicators health, wealth, prosperity, and provision for various needs and asking forgiveness of sins committed, even for successful stealing and crimes by the offenders. The worship of the Buddha statue is quite a different thing. Even this word, worship, is also not very appropriate from the Buddhist point of view. Paying homage is the correct term. Usually, Buddhists do not pray to images or idols. What they do is pay homage to a great religious teacher who is worthy of honor. These images are erected as a mark of respect to appreciate the highest achievement of enlightenment, service, and perfections of religious teachers. Image to a Buddhist is merely a token, a symbol, a representation which helps him to recall or to remember the Buddha. Buddhists kneel before the image and pay their respect to what that image represents. They seek no worldly favors from the image, but they try to gain inspiration from his noble personality and try to be perfect like him by following his noble advice. They do not beg anything from the image. Buddhists respect the great virtues and holiness of a religious teacher, but not the idol. In fact, the followers of every religion create the image of their respective religious teacher either in solid form or as a mental image in their mind. In this respect, it is not justifiable to condemn only Buddhists as being idol worshippers. This act of paying homage to a holy man like the Buddha is not either based on fear of him or to please him for worldly gain. But Buddhists believe that it is a blessing when they respect the great virtues of a holy man. Only those who depend on others for their salvation do criticize and say that Buddhists pray to an idol of a man who is dead and gone. A person's physical body may dissolve into the four elements, but his great virtues remain. Buddhists appreciate and respect those virtues. Therefore, this allegation is very unfortunate and entirely wrong. When we study the teachings of the Buddha, we can understand that the Buddha has said that Buddhas are only teachers and can show the correct path for salvation. But the followers must lead a religious life to purify their mind and to develop their mind in order to attain their salvation without depending on the religious teacher. Therefore, Buddhists are not power worshippers, but they respect the highest virtues. According to the Buddha, there is no God or any other religious teacher who can send people either to heaven or to hell. Rather, man creates his own heaven and hell through his own thoughts, words and actions. Therefore, praying to anybody for salvation without removing the evil thoughts from the mind is out of the question. But we can see some people, even among Buddhists, do some prayers as a tradition in front of the images. When they visit the temples, they offer some joysticks, flowers and candles and some other things on the altar of the image of the Buddha. They recite some verses and express their troubles, difficulties, misfortunes and ask the Buddha to help them to get rid of their difficulties. Although this is not a real Buddhist practice, this kind of devotional practices give some kind of consolation, inspiration, satisfaction, happiness, and emotional relief to their mind so that they can get rid of their difficulties. This is also a usual practice in many other religions. But for those who can understand the real cause of their troubles, worries and sicknesses, such practices are not so important, because they can understand the cause of their troubles and also how to get rid of them if there is any. When real Buddhists pay respect to the Buddha, they do not pray to him asking for worldly favors, but they recite some verses that explain his great virtues and honor him. These verses are not prayers in the sense of asking a god or person to wash away their sins. The verses are simply a means of paying homage to a great teacher who had enlightened the whole mankind. Buddhists honor a religious teacher out of gratitude, while others go and ask something for their own benefit. Buddha has also advised us to honor those who are worthy of honor. Therefore, Buddhists can pay respect to any religious teacher who is worthy of honor. In place of prayer, Buddhists practice meditation for their mind training and self-discipline. For this meditation, an object is very important. Without an object to hold on to, it is not so easy for a man to concentrate. Buddhists sometimes use the image or the picture of the Buddha as an object on which they can concentrate to control their mind. Among the objects of meditation, visual objects have a great effect on the mind. Amongst the five senses, the object which we grasp through eye consciousness has a greater influence over the mind than other objects that are grasped through any of other senses. The eye organ can influence the mind more than any other organ. Therefore, this object grasped through the eye organ has a great influence over the mind, and that mind is easily concentrated. The images are the language of the subconscious. If, therefore, the image of the enlightened one is usually created within one's mind as embodiment of man perfected, it will deeply penetrate into his subconscious mind, and if sufficiently strong, will act as an automatic brake against evil impulses. The Buddha image as a visual object has its impact on the mind. The recollections of the Buddha produces joy, invigorates the mind, and lift up man from a status of restlessness, tension, and frustration. One of the intentions of Buddha Anusati Bhavana meditation on the Buddha is to create devotion, confidence in the Buddha by realizing his greatness. Therefore, the worship of the Buddha is for concentration. The worship of the image of the Buddha, where there is no prayer, vow or rituals, is not idol worship, but it is an ideal worship. Here is a story that will help us to understand why the Buddha image is important to inspire our mind and to recall the Buddha into our mind. This story is found in Buddhist literature, but not in the Theravada school. 200 years after the Buddha, there was a holy monk in India whose name was Upagupta. He was most popular preacher at that time. Whenever he gave a sermon on the Dhamma, thousands of people would flock to listen to his preaching. One day, Mara, the evil one, became jealous of Venerable Upagupta's popularity. Mara knew that Upagupta's popularity was helping to spread the teachings of the Buddha. He was not happy to see the words of the Buddha filling the minds and hearts of the people. So, he used a cunning method to influence the people. He made a plan to stop the people from listening to Upagupta's sermons. One day, as Upagupta began his sermon, Mara organized a drama next to the place where Upagupta preached. A beautiful stage show suddenly appeared. There were pretty dancing girls and lovely heavenly musicians. Little by little, the people forget about the sermon and gathered over to the show to enjoy the performances. Upagupta watched the people slowly drift away. Then he also decided to join the crowd and went to the place. After that, he wanted to teach him a good lesson. When the performance ended, Upagupta presented him with a garland of flowers. "You have organized a wonderful performance," said Upagupta. Mara, of course, was happy and proud of his achievement. He gladly accepted the garlands from Upagupta and held his head high in the air. Suddenly it happened, the garland changed into a snake-like coil. Slowly the coil tightened until it chopped his neck. So painful was that coil gripping his neck that he tried to pull the coil off. No matter how hard he pulled, he could not take the coil off his neck. After that, he decided to ask help from Satra, the king of the gods. He went to see him and asked him to help to remove the coil. Sakra also could not remove it. "I cannot remove this coil," said Sakra. "Go and see Mahabrahma, who is the most powerful one." So Mara went to see Mahabrahma and asked his help, but Mahabrahma also could not do anything. "I cannot remove this coil. The only one who can remove this coil is the person who put it on you," said Mahabrahma. So Mara had to come back to Venerable Upagupta. "Please remove this coil. It is so painful," he begged. "Yes, I can do that. Only under two conditions," said Upagupta. "The first condition is that you must promise not to disturb Buddhist devotees anymore in the future. The second condition is that you must show me the real image of the Buddha, because I know that you have seen him on many occasions, but I have never seen him. I would like to see the real Buddha image exactly like him, with the special 32 characteristics of his physical body." Mara was so happy. He agreed with Upagupta. "But one thing," pleaded Mara, "if I change myself into the image of the Buddha, you must promise that you will not worship me, because I am not a holy person like you. I will not worship you," promised Upagupta. Suddenly, Mara transformed himself into an image that looked exactly like the Buddha. When Upagupta saw the image, his heart was filled with great inspiration. Such a deep devotion arose in his heart. With folded hands, he at once worshipped the Buddha figure. "You are breaking your promise," shouted Mara. "You promised you would not worship me. Now, why do you worship me?" "I am not worshipping you. You must understand, I am worshipping the Buddha," said Venerable Upagupta. From this story, we can understand why the Buddha image is important to inspire us and to help us to recall the real Buddha into our mind, so that we can venerate him. We Buddhists do not worship the material symbol or forms that only represent the Buddha. We pay our respect to the Buddha. The Buddha has passed away into Nibbana. He does not need worship and offerings. Yet, the result of worship will follow, and people will be benefited by following his example and reflecting over his higher sacrifice and great quality. The real Buddhists do not offer animal sacrifices in the name of the Buddha. When some Buddhists see the image of the Buddha, devotion and happiness appear in their mind. This devotion or happiness is considered as meritorious thoughts. Therefore, the image is useful as an object of devotion and happiness, as an object that creates meritorious thoughts in the minds of devout Buddhists. This image of the Buddha also helps people to forget their worries, frustrations and problems, and helps them to have some control over their mind. The world famous philosophers, historians and scholars used to keep the Buddha image on the table in their reading rooms and get inspiration for a higher life and thought. Many of them are not Buddhist. Usually, people honor their departed parents, teachers, great heroes, kings, queens, national and political leaders, and other beloved persons by keeping their photographs to cherish their memory and placing flowers to express their feelings of love, gratitude, reverence, appreciation, and devotion, and recall their great qualities and remember the sacrifices and services rendered by them while they were alive. People also make statues of certain political leaders who have massacred millions of innocent people with cruelty and greed for gaining power by invading poor countries and creating untold sufferings, atrocities and miseries by robbing their land and properties. They are being regarded as great heroes. Memorial services are conducted in honor of them by placing flowers on their graves and tombs. If such practices can be justified as appreciations of their services, why do some people condemn the followers of the Buddha as idol worshippers when they respect their religious teacher who has served the mankind without disturbing or discriminating others, and also who could manage to win the hearts of the people with his boundless love, compassion and wisdom? However, emotional devotion or attachment to Buddha image is not encouraged in Buddhism. Now let us see whether there is any reason to point out that this act of paying homage to the Buddha in front of an image as an uncultured or harmful act to disturb the peace and happiness of anybody. It is difficult to understand why some narrow-minded people try to ridicule this noble act of paying homage to a world-honored religious teacher. If an image is not necessary for people to practice a religion, then certain religious symbols and places of worship are also not important. Buddhists are condemned by some people as stone worshippers, but worshipping stone is harmless and respectable